Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, we'll get to Derek Chauvin in that case and the aftermath and the crazy attorney general now getting involved. We'll get to fixing New York and how it's, if you've left New York, if you've fled, you better listen coming up. Things are turning around here. We'll get to that and we'll get to Apple and more coming up. So we finally got, we actually got very early on, like 3 years ahead of time, the first presidential candidate for 2024. What did Christie do? Did he actually announce he's running?
He didn't. No. He's just basically telling friends he is going to do it.
All right. Now, what this means, he got out of office, and I noticed no big company hired him for zillions of dollars, and I noticed he didn't get put on the board of major companies. You can make a lot of money on these boards. But he got a big contract for ABC TV. That's why you see him on Good Morning America. You see him on the Sunday Show as one of the panelists. And it's a big contract. You know, you can get yourself a couple million a year, million or two a year for that. So he likes that. Apparently, the contract is running up. It's time to renew. So that's why suddenly he's running for president. That's one of the techniques you use to keep your contract there. That's why if you're de Blasio and you're leaving office in January and you're looking for jobs, you make it sound like you're running for president. I might be running for governor. I could be the governor. That way there's a lot of interest in you. This logic is that ABC TV thinks, well, we better re-sign this guy. He could have been, he could be the leading presidential candidate. He could even be president. So, and what was his excuse? That he's the only candidate
with only candidate with executive experience who's run a presidential campaign.
Executive experience means a governor.
Right.
So he's saying, I'm the only governor who's been in a presidential race before. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound right to me. I got to think about this for a moment. I'm sure I could think of 10 governors who have been in presidential races. But even still, what's the point? You weren't the. Let's say Ron DeSantis runs. Ron DeSantis has proven himself to be 100 times better governor than Chris Christie was. Yeah. So that takes care of that. And then Christie can say, yes, but I have experience in a presidential race. Well, Donald Trump would hand his whole team over to Ron DeSantis, and they got more experience winning presidential races than Chris Christie does. And you don't like Christie. He's a very charming guy in person in real life, and he has got a great way about him. He's a great talker. When he makes a speech or when you put him on a show or you put him on a panel, he is great. Now, the problem with him, he is a weather vane, whatever way the wind is blowing. He's a liberal. He's a conservative. He stands by those people that worked in his administration till Bridgegate. Oh, I don't know them. Don't even know them. Who are these people? So, and nobody fought harder for Donald Trump till the Billy Bush tape came out. Then he didn't know Donald Trump. I had nothing. I barely met the guy. So that's the problem with him. Nobody worked harder to go after the Kushner family, put them in jail. Then when they're in the White House, I love the Kushners. They're wonderful people. So that's the problem with Christie.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Remember the debate? He was great. He would take on, he would battling Donald Trump until he saw Donald Trump was winning. Then he was taking Donald Trump's side in the debate. And then, remember, he wanted to be vice president, but the Billy Bush tape did him. And he could have been the vice president. It would have been possible. But when that Billy Bush tape came in, Christie was the first rat to desert the ship. He just ran and we had nothing to do with Donald Trump. So that was the end of him and Trump. Then when Trump got into the White House, he started to call and call and call, and they started talking to him, but that was about it. He would take his phone calls, but not much more than that. And you'll notice there was no offer of any job to Christie during the entire 4 years of Trump's administration. So, but he'll try to run, or this could just be trying to renew his contract at ABC. DeSantis is without question the leading candidate for president if Donald Trump doesn't run. Who else is there?
Well, they're all going to come back, the same ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Margot Rubio. You know.
Yeah, Rubio is just too young. He's not a smart guy, but as Trump would say, he's a kid. He's just a kid. Cruz is just too weird for most people. Smart guy. Rand Paul is brilliant. I love Rand Paul. But again, looks like a total weirdo. So that's not going to work. So it would clearly be DeSantis. And DeSantis is a big problem for Democrats because he doesn't look like much. You know, he's just kind of an average-looking guy. But you start looking at this guy, Yale, Harvard, military. I mean, this guy's got an incredible resume. And what a job he has done as governor of Florida. Nobody handled the pandemic more. You know, Cuomo with his 15-hour telethon briefings, his strutting and preening, and here's a book, and here's another book, and here's a magazine cover. You know, for all that nonsense, he killed 15,000 seniors. His numbers stunk. He wiped out New York. Crime got totally out of control. He destroyed the economy in New York. He was a total disaster as governor by every actual measure. DeSantis, economy booming in Florida. Cuomo lost so many people in New York that fled the state that were losing congressional seats. DeSantis's only problem he created in Florida is he got too many people moving in. He's got traffic jams from everybody moving in. DeSantis was brilliant. Look at this governor of Connecticut. Didn't you hear me pick on this guy for the first year?
How terrible he was? Yep.
Mm-hmm. With his taxes and his tolls and taxing everybody to death. I didn't tell you how terrible. This guy has turned around and become the greatest governor. And I think Ned Lamont, I think he was watching DeSantis and he saw. Now, the good thing about Ned Lamont, he's not a politician. He came from the private sector and just took office after years in the private sector, which taught him about being practical. And he watched DeSantis work miracles in Florida, and he said, this is the way to do it. I'll copy him. And his vaccination program was like DeSantis. He got more people vaccinated in Connecticut, bigger percentage than New York or New Jersey. He's way ahead, and he's been 100% open. Connecticut's been 100% open for 2 months, and he just announced on May 19th, back to normal. Every restriction of every kind is lifted, bars, anything can open. You can do whatever you want. No masks outside starting May 19th. That's pretty amazing. And his numbers have been great. And Cuomo, for all of his stupid 2% in the restaurants, in 2 months we'll go to 3%. And then for all his nonsense, his numbers stunk. Absolutely stunk. He was just a disaster. So who knows? Look for this Ned Lamont maybe to run for something. The Democrats, usually you say, well, the incumbent's going to run. I don't think Joe Biden is going to have a 2024 campaign. Do you?
No.
Remember the last campaign, he was in the basement the whole time. Twice a year he came out to go to an empty parking lot and yell at some white circles on the ground. How would he do in 4 years? What is he going to be? He won't even be in the basement. It'll be like in a hospital bed the whole time. I mean, he can't run in 2024. But here's Biden yesterday.
There's systemic racism is a stain on our nation's soul.
Now, I was worried he was going to say there was systemic racism, but as he said, systemic racism, in his Foster Brooks
delivery. There's systemic racism is a stain on our nation's soul.
Yeah, systemic racism. Yeah, nobody ever says to him, but hey, you ran the system for 47 years. You were in the administration 8 years. You were in Congress 40 years. Why didn't you do anything about it? Well, now he's got his attorney general, Merrick Garland. Remember Merrick Garland was proposed as Supreme Court justice years ago, and Mitch McConnell blocked it. And the word was, the narrative you were being fed by the media was, that was terrible. This is a moderate, centrist, who would have been perfect for the Supreme Court. Well, it turns out that wasn't true. Now that we had this guy testify under oath in confirmation hearings, we find out this guy is the most left-wing wacko ever. And we should have known. One of the reasons he got blocked last time was because Chuck Schumer is the guy that brought him around. Who would trust anybody from Chuck Schumer? So this left-wing wacko has announced he will investigate the Minnesota Police Department. Now, the thing is, in Minnesota, Minneapolis, they got a crazy progressive left-wing mayor. They got the most crazy progressive left-wing everything. Their attorney general is the kooky left-wing nut, Keith Ellison. So this is, if there's systemic racism, it's these left-wing progressives doing it. And you see that all the time. First of all, I don't think there's any systemic racism, do you? there are a lot of great civil rights leaders like Bob Woodson will tell you there's no such thing as systemic racism. You know, you're going to get a bad racist cop now and then. You're going to get a bad racist anything now and then. On both sides, you're going to get a racist that hates whites, hates blacks. There's always a racist somewhere out there, but it's not systemic. The vast majority of police shootings are white victims. Again, you look at this country, take the last four presidential elections, 50% of the time the black candidate won. 75% of the time a ticket with a black person on it won, so that doesn't indicate systemic racism. The whole country's racist, or as Joe Biden...
systemic racism is a...
If you were a bartender, would you serve him if he talked like that? Amy, you've had enough. Go home. So, the problem is, you get all these. The real problem is the media. They could clear this up in 2 seconds. They could, every time they do a news report, put up the numbers. These are police shootings are terrible. These incidents are terrible. But in most cases, it's a white victim who's shot. In almost every case, it's not just a citizen being tortured like that. It's a criminal who's resisting arrest. But then jumping in and all over the place, you got the media covering, and then you got every huckster showing
up. The war and the fight is not over.
Not over.
Just 2 days from now, we're going to have to deal with the funeral of Dante Wright in this same county, the same area.
Now, Al Sharpton has been fighting this fight for 30 years, and look at the difference he's made.
Yep.
Look at the changes he has brought about. Things have changed with Al Sharpton. He's got these $6,000 suits. You notice he went to Minneapolis on a private jet. He's got a mansion. He has really made some change there. Remember, 30 years ago, he was the fat guy with the velvet jogging suit. Now look at him. He has really made a difference in this fight for himself. I don't know about you, but for himself, he has really, really
He's done well. Quite well, yes, yeah.
That's the problem. You got this media covering up the whole real problem. I mean, there are systemic problems. It may be other things, but the media pushing this false narrative. Then you get these hucksters showing up, and then this Black Lives Matter. I mean, if I had somebody representing me, some group, some charity, and then I found out they took in $2 billion. Where the hell did the money go? And the co-founder just bought her fifth mansion. I would start to wonder about all of this and what's really getting done here. So New York City, hey, for all of you that moved out, that fled the city, if you're listening to me in Florida right now and you say, thank God I got out of there, it's actually getting better. There's traffic jams now. There's a rush hour every day. The crime has dropped a little. Shootings are up, but just normal street crime is starting to go down. Mayor de Blasio has announced a crackdown on crime in Midtown. 80 cops will be assigned to that. Does that sound like enough? 80, can 80 cops do a... I mean, Midtown's a pretty big place.
Yeah, a small part of Midtown, I think.
Well, apparently the big real estate interests have gone after him. They are his major donors, and they want something done because their skyscrapers are empty. You can't make any money. In fact, it costs you a fortune to sit there with these empty skyscrapers. So crackdown on crime just in Midtown. Now you're saying, why just Midtown? Because that's where these skyscrapers are. You're on your own. These guys are fighting for themselves. But also, he's got a whole team now that will descend on the city and get the homeless off the streets. It's interesting that you've been in office 7 years. You're just thinking of this now. But he's not the brightest guy in the world. And good for Cuomo, who has done about as much as Sharpton to fight this problem. Cuomo, in all of... do we hear from Cuomo in the last 36 hours?
No, he hasn't said a thing. No.
So protesting all over New York last night. I didn't hear anything from Cuomo, but he's busy with the legal team. He's got 17 lawsuits and 19 investigations and 2 impeachments that he's fighting. So he's a little busy right now. Restaurants, a lot of them are reopening. So, you know, a lot of restaurants, some of the most prominent restaurants did not open. They weren't interested in this 25%. We're doing a takeout business. But even Michael's, the legendary celebrity lunch spot Michael's, reopening Monday. That's good news. And they say the really high-end restaurants doing takeout That's what a lot of the business was for the first 6 months of the pandemic. That's starting to drop. And these are the high-end customers who are always spending money. So apparently they're going back out now. They're not doing the takeout anymore. Things are getting a little better. You got the mayoral race. Hey, by the way, Scott Stringer, this little nerdy-looking accountant, Scott Stringer, made a big deal out of the teachers union endorsing him, UFT. Boy, did he make a big deal out of that endorsement. Well, now a lot of people, especially experts, saying that may have been very stupid on his part to push that. That makes him look very suspicious to voters that he's in bed with the teachers union. You know, I didn't think of that the other day, but this will end up hurting him. It'll help Yang, make him look more independent. I hate to say it, but Yang is on his way to the nomination. It's very early. Things can change. A lot of things could change. But Yang is way out in front at this point. Got a massive lead for a few reasons. He's the only one in the race with any actual personality. Got a lot of energy. You need personality. You got to be able to talk. You need energy. And he's got the momentum. You look at the other candidates. Who else we got? Who's in second place?
Eric Adams.
I don't know. A tricky looking guy. I don't know. I don't quite trust that guy. Nice looking guy. He's got some a lot of police experience. He was a police captain. It's in his background. But a lot of the police people say he's not the greatest guy in the department. So questionable guy. I don't know. Nobody knows. But he's got some personality. He's a good talker. He's got a certain charm to him. Then you got, who else we got? We got Ray McGuire. This guy's a total stiff, can't talk, looks like a total weirdo. He's got this zombie look in his eyes. He's got a lot of money, so he's had a million consultants fix him up, trying to have some energy, but he tries way too hard, and it looks fake. But anyway, we'll get back to this. We'll take some calls in just a minute. Ann Coulter will be with us in a few minutes. We'll see what she thinks about the Chauvin verdict. Check out the webpage. You ever watch the Sunday Morning Show with Brian Stelter? These Sunday shows are so bad, but there is nobody more corrupt, more biased, stupider than this Brian Stelter. Watch this. You'll see. You'll just, your mouth will drop at how stupid this guy is. Watch this clip. It's up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
This is the Mark Simone Show.
710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Ann Coulter coming up in a few minutes. Let's see what she thinks about the verdict, the Chauvin trial. Chauvin has been taken to the most maximum security prison they have in Minnesota. I assume, what will they do for the next 40, 50 years? Will they keep him in protective custody the entire time?
Yeah, I think so. I think they do that with police officers.
Yeah, but it's got to be for... ever. Otherwise, Chauvin would spend every day with the other prisoners taking turns putting their knees on his neck. That would go on forever.
So it certainly would happen. I bet.
Yeah. So let's take some calls. Let's go to Jeff in Long Island. Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, Mark. Listen, Mark, I'm tired of getting ripped off on my bills. The cable TV, the phone, the internet. I can't take it anymore. It's like they've tripled the price in the past 3 or 4 years. So I have an answer. Yeah. I want Trump TV. I want Trump radio. I want Trump internet service. I want video service. I want Trump car insurance, Trump apps on my phone, Trump communication, Trump channel, Trump podcast, Trump traffic and weather. I want to drive a Trump car with Trump car insurance.
I get the impression you like Trump. Is this what you're saying?
Well, you're Trump supporters. To the test. If you're trying really to get that across. Can he do it better than everybody else? Let's see.
Do you live in a Trump apartment?
No.
Oh, the one thing he makes you don't use. So anyway, you have a Trump shirt, hat?
I do.
Oh,
but
okay.
I can't wear it because I live in New York.
Yeah, you can. Where do you live?
Out on the island.
You could. Hey, I see Trump stickers, hats, everything in Long Island. Most of Long Island loves Donald Trump. Anyway, thanks for calling. Yeah, he's right about these cable bills. You know, cable bill was like, what was it, 50, 60 a month? Then next thing you know, it's 100 a month. Now it's 200 a month. Now it's 280 a month. Now it's 320. Well, I'll cut the cable. I'll cut the cord, and I'll get all I need from these streaming services. $9.99, Netflix, I'm all set. Now next thing you know, wait a minute. Now there's Peacock. Now there's Disney. Now there's Apple. Now there's Amazon's. The next thing you know, I've got 14 of these, and I'm back up to 300 a month. Hey, by the way, Netflix has hit a brick wall. They were just killing it last year. Netflix with Tiger King, and they were totally dominant. But Disney took off. Peacock took off. Amazon, Apple, all the other streaming services. And Netflix growth has really slowed down. Now, we have another. This is a different Jeff from Long Island. Jeff from Long Island, how are you?
Yeah, I'm the original Jeff from Long Island.
All right. Well, we'll do a whole segment, just people named Jeff from Long Island. Go ahead.
Mark, I did want to give you a little bit of a critique here. Some of your guests, like this Castor convertible lady, when she was the parks commissioner, it went from $2 to $8 in order to get into a park. That's your Castor convertible lady.
Why do you know it was her fault?
Absolutely her fault. She was.
Why do you know this?
Because it went up immediately when
What park are you? Well, but that's not necessarily her.
All the Long Island parks. Mark, don't cut me off, all right? Let me.
Yeah, see, the problem is, as soon as you say don't cut me off, just for the joke, we have to cut you off. This is, I go to parks in Long Island. What park is he talking about where you got to pay to go in?
I don't know. They're probably parking rates I think he's talking about.
Oh, okay. I have a feeling a million people control that. I wouldn't blame her for that. But, hey, Central Park. I go to lots of parks in Long Island. Hey, speaking of which, have you ever seen the most beautiful McDonald's in America? Big article about it in the New York Post today. Go take a look at it. It's the most beautiful McDonald's in America. It's in a beautiful mansion, big, white, glorious mansion, and it's in Long Island, New Hyde Park. I've been in there. I don't know how that ever happened. Well, read the article. It probably explains. This enormous white, Georgian colonial mansion, and it's a McDonald's. It's on the Jericho Turnpike in New Hyde Park. Not people there know about it, but if you don't, if you want to see the greatest McDonald's in America. It just, in fact, the reason it's in the paper today was declared a landmark, finally. Hey, when we come back, Ann Coulter will be with us. Let's see what she thinks about all this. We'll get to that next on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett.
710 WOR.
It's the Mark Simone Show.
Well, Ann Coulter, of course, the best-selling author and a great columnist. You can go to anncoulter.com and follow her on Twitter. And the book we recommend now is Ann Coulter's book called Mugged, which is the book on racial demagoguery and all that fits in right now. Ann Coulter, how you doing?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Mark Simone?
Good. So you wrote this book years ago about this kind of stuff and politicians exploiting these situations, and look how timely it is. It never ends, does it?
No, it does never end. That was a funny thing, peculiar thing, with all the triumphal speeches on the guilty, guilty, guilty verdicts against Derek Chauvin yesterday. All of these comments about, yes, now things will change. No, nothing's really changed for a couple of decades now. You resist the police, and bad things can happen. The media will not notice, and the activists will not notice if it's a white person resisting the police who ends up dead. Only white cop, maybe Hispanic cop now, and black perpetrator. But you'll notice in all of the cases, the central problem is generally resisting the police.
Well, but here's the thing. There have been 213 police shootings this year, and only 30 of these victims were black. Most were white. Mm-hmm. And these are very, very rare, these instances. So why does the media cover that up and not tell the story? Why create this illusion of total racism? I could see if Trump were president, they were trying to hurt him. But why do it when Biden's president?
No, it really is sickly evil and satanic to keep these race wars going. They want to enable black criminals, embolden them, and have the police become afraid and timid to do anything. I mean, it just seems to me we're getting to a point where only black police are going to be allowed to police black neighborhoods. And that is the only outcome satisfactory to our media.
Yeah, but I can understand. Like, if you're Al Sharpton, you're in the business of making profits off racism, so you'd promote the hell out of that. But if you're George Stephanopoulos or Chuck Todd, what do they have to gain from promoting this?
Well, they get to feel very virtuous. Don't ever underestimate the appeal of moral smugness. And it's no skin off their backs. They live in lily white neighborhoods. Their kids go to lily white schools. They are in no, and they're, of course, they're surrounded by armed guards at their workplaces, in their neighborhood. So they're not at any risk for an uptick in crime. That'll be poor blacks, Hispanics, whites living in or near criminals. So no skin off their back, and they get to virtue signal and act as if they are so much more superior to other white people who are not flying Black Lives Matter flags.
But again, get this book mugged. It's an older book by Ann Coulter, but it'll explain a lot of this to you. So Joe Biden goes on TV last night, talks about the systemic racism. He's been running the system for 47 years. What, isn't he to blame for this if it's true?
I know. And what does it even mean, systemic racism? Again, is Joe Biden or any of his family or friends, are any of them at any risk of being a victim of crime? I mean, I do every once in a while sit back and think that my crazy, you know, sci-fi movie idea for what's really going on here, there's very little to disprove it, and that is a huge liberal campaign to replace black people with Hispanics. Because, as you know, since the, as I think you know, generally since, well, first Ferguson, and then the racial reckoning after George Floyd died, the murder rate has just gone up astronomically from 2019 to 2020. It was the largest jump in the largest increase in the murder rate in the nation's history. It went up 30% between 2019 and 2020, and it's just going to keep going. I mean, we've gotten to the point where the new rule is a black man has a right not to be arrested if he's not in the mood for it. And any policeman who tries to violate that rule will be facing 40 years in prison if anything goes awry. Meanwhile, the borders are open. And, oh, of course, in these homicides, I think it goes without saying, most of the people being killed are African Americans. You unleash criminals, embolden criminals, and scare off the police from doing their jobs. That is inevitable. As described in that great book, Mugged, the Giuliani crime policy saved tens of thousands of lives, the vast majority of them young black men. But the media, again, what do they care? It's not their kids, not their lives, not their neighborhoods, and they get to go around and act so superior with their Black Lives Matter flags.
Hmm. So Joe Biden says, I called the Floyd family. I spoke to, 40 people were shot in Chicago last weekend and every weekend, including a young child shot and killed for no reason at all. So how come he doesn't call these families? These families must be saying, where's our phone call?
No, I know. And the celebration after that conviction last night. Can you imagine the media celebrating after the conviction of a gangbanger who had shot an 8-year-old girl in a drive-by? Yeah. Oh, no, that's inconceivable. No, here we took a cop down. Speaking of cops, if I could really put in a promotional post for that cop in, what was it, in Columbus, who shot the one black girl stabbing another. It's actually stabbing a lot of black girls. But if you watch this video, they were trying to turn this, of course, the media, who did they go to? The black girl who was killed, her mother or her aunt. And as you may have noticed, the initial story from the relatives is often not 100% accurate. So anyway, if you watch this video, they released the police body cam. And if you watch it fast, you can't see what's happening at all. You have to watch it in slow motion a couple of times. And, oh, my gosh, this cop is a good shot. He has a fraction of a second as the black gal he shoots, totally appropriately, has the knife pulled back. She's about to impale the other black gal who's backed up against a car. It happens so fast. And also, everyone's running around screaming. The cop hits no bystanders, just four, bam, 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 into the black gal who's holding the knife back, about to impale another black gal on her knife. The shooting is so impressive. I always thought cops didn't practice their guns that much. But of late, man, a lot of these cops are good shots.
Yeah, well, actually, it's a very wide-angle lens. He's closer than you think. He's pretty close, so that's why. But if they're trying to make something out of this video, the girl has. It's about how he shot this poor innocent girl. Well, she stabbed someone with a knife, with a big knife. And as the cop got there, she stabbed this woman. Now he's about to go stab a second woman, and the knife is raised. She's about to stab her, and that's when the cop shoots. And under every technique, procedure in every police department, you are supposed to shoot when the person is about to stab someone or shoot somebody with a gun or knife.
But the shooting is really, really good. So, wow, yeah. My hat's off to that cop.
Yeah, so the crowd is saying, you killed a young girl. They didn't say, hey, you just saved that young girl's life by stopping the other one from stabbing her. So I'd say we're out of time. But, hey, go get this book, Mugged. It's from a while back, but it's really applies to all this. Mugged by Ann Coulter and all the Ann Coulter's books. Very good. And follow Ann Coulter on Twitter. And her website's got all kinds of stuff on it. AnnCoulter.com. AnnCoulter.com. And Ann Coulter, thanks for being with us.
Good to talk to you, Mark Simone. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. And everybody check out the webpage. We've got a lot of good stuff up on the webpage. Every day we put up new videos. And if you ever watch the Sunday morning shows, why watch them? It's so terrible. But the one you got to watch is Brian Stelter on CNN. It's called Reliable Sources. Supposedly, he's the media critic who looks for bias in the media. He's the most biased partisan on the air, and he's the stupidest guy ever. Well, he broke his own record for stupidity. Watch this clip from the other day. Also, and if you don't think Joe Biden is declining, watch it. This is fascinating. It's video of him 10 years ago and today. Two totally different people. Take a look at it. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.